Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square.
You are listening to an encore presentation of Jefferson State of Mind, and this was recorded last week, so the information given is still relevant this week.
Good morning, Jefferson. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, today is another beautiful day, and we have Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. So I want to wish everybody out there happy Thanksgiving, and remember what that day is for. We do have a lot to be thankful for, and that's for sure. We can be thankful for our families and our country. We can be thankful for our friends. And we're going to have a house full. It'll be kind of fun. We're going to have our herd in. We've got five kids, so we're going to have a house full. My granddaughter wanted to bring her puppy, and we said no. We love you, Desiree, honey, but no puppy zone, especially if it's raining and we have 1,000 people in the house, you know. All the kids and everything. Let's have a puppy, too. Yeah. Can my puppy come? No. Oh, mean old grandpa. Anyway, I'm here with Ashley. How you doing, Ashley?
So far, so good. How about you?
Doing good.
Good.
So anyway, this Monday night at 2570 Bonneview Road at the church that shall remain nameless, the no-name church, the church we cannot name, but
it
there is a church there.
Name. We just don't say it on the air.
That's what it is. Yes. And you heard it here from our producer. Okay. At 2570 Bonneview Road, we will be having showing the movie Monumental, which is really exceptional. If you haven't seen it, Kirk Cameron did this movie, and it is just, it's fantastic. It's very good. It talks about the pilgrims. It talks about the foundation of America in a very unique way and in ways that a lot of people don't know about or been or seen before. And, oh, someone touched me on the back. It must be my partner who just rolled in. Here he is. Fly by the seat of his pants, Carpenter. He's coming soon.
That's how I roll.
It is, buddy. How you doing this morning?
Good. I forgot this list that I need to have here. I got halfway here, and then I had to turn around and go home and get it.
Oh, you know, the same thing happened to us this morning on the printer. We had the same issue. Anyway, getting back to what's happening tomorrow night, that movie will be shown at 6 o'clock. And at 5:30, we have our Jefferson meeting. Wynn, good morning.
Good morning.
So what's going on? You've got a little list there.
I do, and it's a list that I did before, and I forgot to bring it last time, and then I got halfway here, and I was like, I'm not doing it two times in a row. Okay, it's a signage list. We want to thank our people that are putting their signs out on their properties. Dearman Pumps out on 273, Vic Hannon on 273, Valley Septic on East Side Road, Bob Hutchins on River, and Stroop's Equipment on Churn Creek Road. So that's the partial list.
Well, there you go. So
we want to thank them all very much because they're patriots and they're supporters of Jefferson.
You know, and folks, we need to really take our hats off to those people who are standing up. You know, frankly, if you're in business in California, why wouldn't you want Jefferson?
Oh, amen.
You know, but then again, if you live in California, why'd you vote, you know, that you wanted more higher gas tax? I mean, you know, how do you do that? So anyway, this morning we're going to be having Mark Beard call in a little bit here, and we're going to talk and clarify some things about what we're doing as far as the Second Amendment goes. And talking about the Second Amendment, on Saturday, December the 1st, at the Anderson VFW Hall at 3210 West Center Street, we will be having a Second Amendment rally. It should be excellent. Mark Beard and Patrick Jones are the keynote speakers. The doors open at 3 o'clock, and the event will start at 4. And we'll probably go from about 4 to, I'm guessing, 6 or 6:30, depending on questions. But the importance of understanding the Supreme Court position and the Ninth Circuit, the most liberal court in the land's position, is really pretty astonishing. You know, we know that the Supreme Court has said that open carry is something that's actually limited to people engaged in the protection of life and property. Well, who's that? That's everybody.
Yep.
Everybody, you know, is engaged in protecting their life and property. And concealed carry is limited to those people who can demonstrate, quotation marks, an exceptional case tooth fairy injury. All right. So you've got to prove your case with a concealed carry. Now, the Ninth Circuit upheld all this, and basically the only protected right we have is the open carry of a loaded weapon. That's the protected right we have, the core right. So Mark is going to be calling in a bit. We'll be talking a little bit more about that. There's an interesting caveat to all that. You know, in California alone, you know, you think that maybe people aren't that concerned about the Second Amendment. We have 8 million registered guns. And that's the ones that are registered. That isn't the gun that, you know, Johnny got from Grandpa or Joe got from his dad, et cetera.
Yeah, most people only register one or two guns, you know, depending on what they have. Everything else is taken care of.
And I would say probably 10 million is safe. I think it's safe.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. Well, there are some people out there that have, they have quite the collection.
Yep. And we have Musabi on the phone. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Morning, Mark.
Pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Doing well. We wanted to jump right into this Second Amendment position, and I've got a few questions to ask you. First of all, a lot of people think, well, you know, the Second Amendment started when the Second Amendment started. In other words, in 1789, the Second Amendment started. And that, of course, is not, that's not when we had the right to protect ourselves and the right to bear arms. That preceded long before that. You want to give us a quick explanation of how that all rolls?
Well, I mean, I think it would be plain for any reasonable person to see that the God-given guarantees present in the Second Amendment began when the first human being picked up a rock or a stick to defend his life or his property or his ability to conduct his life the way he wanted to instead of the way a group trying to attack him or subjugate him wanted him to. I mean, these rights are what William Blackstone called the absolute rights, and they began when humans were created by God and these freedoms placed in their heart. And those freedoms are the protection of life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. So whether you participate in society or not, how would your life work if every time you came back to your cave in the side of a mountain, someone had stolen all your stuff? How could you conduct your life if your life was constantly under threat and you have no means to protect yourself either within your cave or walking down to the water hole or walking back to your cave? You know, I forget who said this, but it might have been, it was in early Chinese writings that weapons were first created to protect people against wild animals. And you know, bears have claws and teeth, and mountain lions have claws and teeth, and they're strong, and they can run faster than you can. And, you know, in other words, you're not at the top of the food chain. Well, we don't have any of those things. We don't have big fangs. We don't have sharp claws. We're not fast. Some animals are. And so we had to develop weapons to protect ourselves. And that's the beginning of the premise and the principle behind the Second Amendment. Now, because government was created, that didn't strip human beings of their unalienable God-given rights. And in fact, it was supposed to have guaranteed those rights because in our founding document, all just power is derived from the governed. And governments were instituted among men in order to secure the liberty that we hold most dear. And those liberties were outlined. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then Samuel Adams added, together with the ability to protect those as best we can. John Locke called them the natural rights, the right of defense of self without giving way. Now, John didn't say the right to defend yourself only when you're in your house. The Second Amendment secures and guarantees your right to keep and bear arms. To keep means to have. To bear means to carry. And so John was not referring to your ability to carry your weapon from the bedroom to the bathroom in your pajama pocket. He was not referring to your ability to carry your weapon in your apron pocket while you were cooking your breakfast. He was referring to the inalienable right possessed by all human beings to bear arms for protection of self, family, community, state, and nation, no matter where you are in those places.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people seem to think, I mean, we always get this question all the time, you know, a lot of people seem to think that the police are there to protect you. You know, we need more cops. And by the way, we need more cops. And did I say we need more cops? Because the police are there to protect us. But
how you've made some good points in the past that there's something like, what, 500,000 policemen, how they're supposed to protect 350 million people. Can you expound on that and give us maybe some things from the California Code, some points, laws, code sections that that show that we, again, need to protect ourselves and we can't be beholden on and always counting on more police and more policing. Did I say more police?
Well, I mean, you know, the Policeman's Code of Ethics states that it is our goal to protect those who cannot protect themselves. And so that is a motto. It's a code of ethic. It's a point of honor, and it's one that every sworn police officer has dedicated his life to uphold. But here's the reality of the situation. There are approximately, and I don't know how old the statistic is, but there are approximately 500,000 policemen in the United States of America at any given time. And as you said, there are 350 or 360 million people. And then let's look at police forces. Well, let's say that half of, in a 24-hour day, if you work a 10 or 12-hour shift even, half of those policemen are off. So that cuts the number down to 250,000 to protect 360 million people in any given period of time. And then you have to say to yourself, how many of those guys are on days off or on vacation or engaged in administrative duties or don't have field duties to begin with? And that probably cuts that number down, relatively significantly, say by 50,000. So there's 200,000 police officers who are perhaps on the road at any given time. Well, first of all, California Government Code, Section 821, 845, and 846 says that no town or city is obligated to even have a police force, and that no state employee or government employee is bound to protect you, and furthermore, they will suffer no liability for failing to protect you. Now, those aren't bad laws. They're just a recognition of reality. It would be impossible for any police officer or any police force, and by the way, the first police forces in the United States weren't even created until 1835, 1840, and they weren't even armed. So the recognition in the United States of America is that defense of self is your responsibility. Police forces are there to augment the citizens. And in fact, in the old days, police forces used to call upon citizens all the time to bring their personal weapons to aid in law enforcement and catching criminals and so on and so forth. We have to recognize that in most states, the government has no duty or responsibility to protect the individual from crime or violence or anything else for that matter. And further, they will suffer no liability for failing to do that. It is a goal. It is a motto. It's something that all sworn police officers hope to achieve, but it's physically impossible. And what would happen is the courts would be stuffed with lawsuits if, let's say, a Shasta County sheriff protected Jane Doe but failed to protect Betty Smith on the other side of town. And Betty would say, well, he protected Jane. Why couldn't he protect me? And it's just, it would be an impossibility. And so those laws are not unjust. They're simply a reflection of what's real. And the Supreme Court has upheld that many, many times in Warren versus D.C. and Ducheney versus Winnebago County, Ritz versus New York, Ballesteri versus Pacifica Police Department, Castle Rock, City of Castle Rock versus Gonzales. The court has said again and again and again and again that the government bears no responsibility for protecting the individual against crime or violence or anything else for that matter. And further, the government is not liable for failing to protect you, even when they arrest someone and that person escapes custody and then harms you in the process. And once again, it's simply a physical impossibility. It's not justice or injustice. It's just a recognition of the truth. And that truth is that the individual is responsible for his own defense.
Well, you know, that makes a really good point. And you talked about the court cases. Now, with the recent Young versus Hawaii and the position, of course, that the Supreme Court did have and the position now that the Ninth Circuit has taken, agreeing with the Supreme Court, that open carry of a loaded weapon is a protected right, in fact, the only protected right, the interesting part about that is we now have the Ninth Circuit who did agree with that. And they're the most liberal court in the land. Can you expound a little bit on that and what exactly Young versus Hawaii did for open carry and for concealed carry?
Well, let's back up a little bit from Young. First of all, the court has recognized again and again and again, and that's the Supreme Court as well as the appellate courts, that concealed carry is a right that falls, and this is a quote from a Ninth Circuit case, Peruta v. San Diego, falls entirely. Concealed carry falls entirely outside of Second Amendment protections. In other words, the government can ban it, the government can allow it, the government can regulate it, the government can permit it, the government can permit it one day and not permit it the next. That's concealed carry. Concealed carry is a privilege which constitutes a government permission slip for a citizen to do one thing one day and do it in a certain manner by prescribed rules and regulations after passing certain tests and paying any fee they want you to pay. That's what concealed carry is. It can be granted, and it can be denied. Whenever you have to ask permission, remember, permission can be denied at any time in the future without any special circumstance occurring. Now, again, the court has found again and again and again that open carry is the core right of the Constitution, the Second Amendment to the Constitution, and it extends into public places. Open carry of an operable weapon. So the court in Young versus Hawaii, not the Ninth Circuit, by the way, but a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit, I am sure if you asked all the Ninth Circuit judges what they thought, they'd certainly have a different opinion than Judge O'Scanlan and his panel. But the Ninth Circuit found that open carry of a loaded operable weapon is the core right protected by the Second Amendment, and they quoted Heller and McDonald, Heller versus D.C. and McDonald versus the City of Chicago. Open carry of an operable and loaded weapon outside your home, extending into the public area, is a core right of the Second Amendment, an enumerated right, an unalienable right. That is your right and nothing else.
Well, you know, you quoted two cases there, Heller versus D.C. and McDonald versus Chicago. And I think that we've now become we've come completely full circle on this thing as far as open carry goes. And there is, what, 31 states that allow open carry without any kind of permit or anything else, another 14 that have some kind of restriction. And then, of course, there's the Magic Five, including California, that don't allow open carry at all, with the exception of a specific a penal code section, which you you could want to tell the folks about that, the California Penal Code section that does allow for open carry in this may permit carry state.
Well, you know, you have to qualify that. First of all, Penal Code 26150B2 says that a sheriff may issue an open permit for the exposed carry, I believe is the term, the exposed carry of a loaded weapon. That permit is operable only in the county of issue. It is allowed to be issued only in counties with less than 200,000 citizens, and that permit requires as many hoops and permissions as concealed carry does. In other words, a sheriff, when he may issue that permit, is acting on the dictums of the state legislature. They have told the sheriff, you may issue that permit or you may not issue that permit. So once again, 26150B2 is a government permission slip to do something that God has given you the absolute right to do without that permission slip. So now we have to ask ourselves, if that's true, why aren't we carrying our guns? If Young versus Hawaii is true, why aren't we carrying our guns? If Warren versus D.C., or excuse me, if Heller versus D.C. is the law, why don't we have Second Amendment rights in California? If City of Chicago versus McDonald is the law, why don't we have open carry in California? If Sitano versus Massachusetts, a Supreme Court case that says that a state may not debar a citizen the ability to carry a weapon in public because states are often more interested in disarming people than they are in keeping them safe. If Sitano versus Massachusetts is the law, why can't we carry a weapon in California? That's the question people ought to be asking.
Well, we're going to go off for our first break, but I want you to, when we come back, we now are going to be going to court with a temporary restraining order, going for that, and going to stop the state of California from not following the Constitution, and have a position for our sheriffs to fall back on and say, okay, well, you know, we have to go along with the Constitution of the United States. And by the way, there is a TRO out there. So anyway, when we come back from the break, Kemosabe, if you could enlighten us on that, give that some thought, and when time has come.
Prayer 51.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit soj51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
This Christmas, give the gift of down-home comfort food and treat yourself as well. Buy $25 in gift cards from Black Bear Diner and get $5 in Bear Bucks for your own post-holiday meal. Gift cards are the perfect gift. What better way to send your love than a cozy home-style experience? Stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive. They'll be open on Christmas Day. And don't forget, you can order your favorite comfort food at home now through Sunday, December 2nd. Get free delivery when you order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Alrighty, we're back. Hey, Mark, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, quick question. What is the, I've heard about this en banc, en banc, whatever you want to call it. What is that?
En banc is where a large portion, it could be all of them, but it's usually 11 or 12 of the justices of a circuit court rehear a case. In other words, say Young versus Hawaii. Now, the state of Hawaii has asked for an en banc rehearing. That means that the majority of the justices of the court could, and by the way, if Trump appoints 3 more, as he can and he's trying to do, then that number of justices to constitute the majority would go up, and it would be more difficult for them to gain an en banc rehearing. So we want those justices confirmed. But if an en banc is accepted, and believe me, en banc used to be very rare. It was even more rare than the United States Supreme Court accepting a case. But lately, with the progressives packing the court, they seem to pick up an en banc anytime they don't like something. They don't like the way a judge opines. So this would be a rehearing of Young versus Hawaii, and in that case, the case goes away as if it never happened, and then the majority of justices rehear the case, and guess what they're going to find?
Okay, so they could totally flip it then.
Well, they could, but here's the problem for them. Peruta versus San Diego, which declared that concealed carry falls totally and wholly outside of Second Amendment protection, was an en banc decision. Well, look, there are only two ways to carry the gun. You either hide it or you don't. If you carry it exposed or you carry it concealed.
Mm-hmm.
So if the court en banc has stated, and by the way, this case was attempted to be taken before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court refused to hear the case. They did not allow cert in that case. So the fact that the Ninth Circuit says concealed carry falls outside the Second Amendment and government can do whatever they want with it, that is the law now. The Supreme Court did not hear the case. That is the law. Well, there are only two ways to carry the gun, exposed or concealed. Well, the Ninth Circuit en banc has said that concealed is not legal. Concealed is not a constitutional guarantee. Well, no state may deny an enumerated right to its citizens, McDonnell versus City of Chicago. In other words, the Second Amendment extends to the states through the Equal Protection Clause in the 14th Amendment. So California may not deny its citizens access to Second Amendment guarantees. Well, concealed carry isn't a right, and the Ninth Circuit said so en banc. So how can they then turn around and say that open carry is not a right? Well, if concealed carry isn't a right, open carry must be. But here's the problem for us. The court often rides the magic carpet to places the law doesn't allow, for one. And for two, the state of Hawaii, with the help of the socialist progressive liars in Sacramento, has declared that public carry is within the state's purview to regulate. Now, so what they're doing is they're ignoring San Diego v. Peruta, and in fact, they're trying to use an in-bank denial of a core Second Amendment right to say that states can regulate any form of, quote, public carry. So they're inventing a new legal term called public carry, and by the way, the NRA is not against this.
Well, you know, I've talked to people, in fact, the people who do CCW classes, and I know one particular gentleman who does a lot of those, and he said, well, I'm against open carry because I don't want to see people walking around who don't know what they're doing walking around with open carry. I don't want to see them out there not being trained and with open carry. I mean, I guess people who have never taken lessons on a motorcycle shouldn't buy one, or, you know, maybe people shouldn't buy a hammer, you know, if they've never worked with a hammer before, because, I mean, more people get killed by hammers than they do by guns. But anyway.
But
I've got to tell you, nobody asks you if you know how to drive a car before you buy one of those.
Damn right.
Nobody asks you whether you have a motorcycle license before you buy a motorcycle.
That's
I've
right.
bought a lot of motorcycles. I've never ever once shown my motorcycle license before I was allowed to buy a motorcycle. You're not forced to say that you're a responsible individual before you buy Schedule One opiates on prescription. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me. But here's the deal with that. Yeah, you know, people have asked me, don't you think concealed carry is tactically superior? Well, you know, maybe it is. I mean, maybe the element of surprise is tactically superior, but here's the problem. It's not a right. And the court has said so many, many times. Open carry is the right.
Right.
And are you more afraid if you see someone's weapon and you think they don't know him, and you sit and judge of their character without knowing the person, without knowing anything about them? That's not exactly liberty, and you ought to take a look at yourself for that statement. But are you more afraid when you see the person's weapon than you would be? You don't have any idea who's carrying them now.
So
I mean, I'd rather see the gun than walk around knowing that 10,000 people walking past me have one stuffed down their jeans and half of them are MS-13 members.
Yeah. So now we are going to be, we hired an attorney. And we're going to be going after this with a TRO. Can you explain to the folks how that procedure is going to work and what exactly we are doing to make sure that our constitutional right and our God-given right is protected?
Well, I'm sending the retainer agreement to the attorney on Monday, and hopefully we'll get that process started as quickly as possible. And that will cover a case which says that according to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, open carry in public areas is the core right of the Second Amendment, and that right extends to public areas, as I've said. And so we're asking the court to demand that California stop enforcing an unconstitutional law per the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, I think the state may have painted itself into a corner with Peruta v. San Diego, and also there is a Ninth Circuit case, en banc case, by the way, Chambers versus United States, where the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has instructed its own judges. All of the judges in the Ninth Circuit are bound to follow Chambers versus United States. And that case says any opinion of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals applies to every judge in the circuit unless it is overturned by the Supreme Court or en banc. Well, Young versus Hawaii, even though the state has applied for an en banc review, and so has the state of Hawaii, it has not been accepted as such, and it may not be accepted, and it may take years for it to be accepted en banc. That's not a quick process. So for the moment, Young versus Hawaii is the law. However, you can't force a state to stop enforcing an unconstitutional law unless you sue them. So I'm going to sue them to stop enforcing an unconstitutional law and restore open carry as a core right of the Second Amendment to all of California. And here's my problem. I need help. I'm not rich. I can't afford this attorney by myself. I'm not demanding that people help. I'm simply asking you, if you value your liberty, will you help me restore it? That's all I'm asking. And if you don't value your liberty, I'll figure out a way to restore it for you by myself. But if you do value it, I could certainly use the help.
Well, I think that's great. And we have people want to send money. Is there any particular address or someplace that they should send that to? And how should they do that? And is there anything tax deductible about it that we have that's help them tax-wise?
Well, very fortunately for me, I've made arrangements through PECON. And that is the local Patriots group in Shasta County, as you well know, Terry, and they're 501c3, and they have been empowered by their C3 to accept these donations on behalf of this legal case, and they are tax deductible. I believe Wynn knows the address. I don't have it right in front of me. And those contributions can be sent to PECON, and from PECON, they will be sent directly to the attorney.
Right, and so
there is no overhead. There is no paid staff. No one gets a cut of this except the attorney.
Okay, and then what you want to do when you write out your check to PECAN, PECAN, on the lower left-hand side of your check where the memo is, write in Second Amendment. It has to have Second Amendment written there so that the monies that you want donated will go to that account, and it'll go to pay for the legal fees for this particular case. So, again, PECON in the pay to the order of, and then the memo would be Second Amendment, and you can mail it to P.O. Box 751 Palisedro, P-A-L-O-C-E-D-R-O, 96073.
Now, one thing, too, I did ask our sheriff for a 26150B2 and an open carry permit. I don't have a record, and I'm a citizen in good standing, I think. Well,
he doesn't.
We're going to look at me, are you sure? But anyway, he said no, and I said, well, why not? And he said, because I don't issue them to anyone in the county. In other words, you're not the exception, you're the rule. Well, I don't issue them to anyone.
So he wouldn't give one to his wife?
That's a good question. I don't know. I didn't ask him that. But, you know, what's your thought process on that, Mark, on these sheriff's
positions? Well, once again, what the sheriff is doing is he is acting according to, and whether I agree with it or not, and by the way, I don't agree with it, I think that a constitutional officer has a primary duty to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. However, the legislature has issued Penal Code Section 26150 A and B, and B2 says the sheriff may issue.
Right.
So he is acting according to the will of the legislature, and he can give you that permit or he can fail to give you that permit. Now, you know, here's a question that I've asked. You know, even if you live in a county like Shasta County or like my county, where the sheriff is a pretty good guy, and he will issue a government permission slip for concealed carry to anyone who jumps through all the hoops and pays the money. Hopefully you have the money, because without the money, you're not going to get a permission slip. What happens when he's not the sheriff anymore? What if the next sheriff isn't so kind about that kind of thing? What if the next sheriff doesn't feel like citizens should have a weapon for their own defense in public? Then all of a sudden your right goes away because a different guy has the job. You know, here's the problem with this. God gave me the right to defend myself and my family and my community. God gave me that right. It isn't a right I can give away or sell. It is my right. I can fail to exercise it if I choose to, and no harm, no foul. If you choose not to exercise that right, it's perfectly okay with me and everybody else in society. However, that is my right, and no single government actor or agent, no matter who that is, and no matter whether I like him or not, no matter whether he's a, quote, a good guy or not, and no matter whether he's, quote, a good sheriff or not, has the right to deny me what God has given me. And so what I would like to do, and here's the problem with that, when we fight for our liberty and fight for our freedom, because the Declaration of Independence tells us that it is better to suffer a long train of abuses than it is to take up arms against a legitimate government. So we don't necessarily have the right or the ability, nor would it be wise, for us to take up arms against the government when legitimate, legal, moral, ethical means are at our disposal. And those means, no matter how corrupt they may be, lie in court. The legislature, with now supermajority in both houses, is not going to fix this for us. We have no representation as
we're talking about California here.
That's right.
Want to clarify, we're talking about California. Okay.
Yeah, we have, well, we're talking about a vast majority of the United States, but anyway, in California, we have no representation in the state house, so that avenue of redress is closed to us.
Right.
The governor is an anti self-defense maniac, so we have no avenue of legitimate redress there. The court is our only legitimate moral legal avenue of redress. So let's do it. I mean, let's avail ourselves of a constitutional process to fix what I consider to be an unconscionable wrong, and that is the denial of a God-given right to the people of this nation. And we fought for those rights. We died for those rights. I am a veteran myself, and many of my fellows did not come home from that war and subsequent wars. And there are wars going on right now to say that we have the right to liberty, and that liberty must be supported, as John Adams said, at all hazards. So let's avail ourselves of the constitutional, legal, moral, and ethical process by addressing this in court, and that's what the Constitution outlines, and let's fix this. But if you don't value your liberty, then turn this program off, go down, have an ice cream, go to the mall, spend your money on tennis shoes and stuff, and, you know, that's just the way you're going to live. But if you have the moral, ethical, and legal responsibility to secure liberty for your children and your grandchildren, help us do that. Act. Take action. Help us accomplish this important goal. And if we can restore liberty to California in this area, we can do it in other areas. But we have to act, folks. Nothing will happen without action.
And this is all part of being a grown-up, you know, being an adult. You know, everybody wanted to be a grown-up. Everybody wanted to be an adult and make their own decisions and do the thing that they thought was important. Well, there's nothing more important.
Well, I think the thing is that a lot of people, it's a maturity factor.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I see a guy that's 50 years old with his hat on backwards, I kind of wonder. You know, and you know, when you
no,
stop.
I want to go even further than that. You know, there are a lot of times in my family life, and this isn't wrong, when my family looks at me and says, oh God, do we have to go on another one of these missions? Do we have to give up what little time we have and what little money we have? And believe me, we're not wealthy people. And we work, there are a couple of jobs that we work in this family, more than two, in order to just make ends meet. Do we really have to sacrifice what little we have left to fight another one of these political battles to try to restore liberty for people we don't even know? And, you know, the answer to that is, if you're a warrior or a sheepdog or whatever you call yourself, the answer to that's yes, you do have to. You have a moral obligation. You have an obligation to your Lord, to your God, to perpetuate the liberties that your fathers and forefathers died so that you'd have the opportunity to exercise. When my father handed me this country and this state, we had the ability to defend ourselves in public in California. We could carry our weapon. And remember, back in 1967 and back in even as late as 2012 and 2013, when the state removed the last vestige of open carry of an unloaded weapon because some idiot state senator said you don't need a gun to go to McDonald's and buy a cheeseburger, you know, we had that ability. So as late as 6-7 years ago, we had the right of self-defense in California. And we squandered it. We allowed it to slip away. We did nothing.
Well,
the time for doing nothing has to be over. Or why don't you just kneel down and kiss the hand that and lick the hand that feeds you?
Oh, I think that congressman never went to McDonald's in Stockton.
Anyway, well, he never went to McDonald's in Alabama because on the 29th of last month,
right,
a guy in Alabama, in a McDonald's in Alabama with his son buying a cheeseburger stopped a mass shooting with a personally carried weapon.
Yep.
There you go.
Well, with that, we're going to go off to our last break. And Kemosabe, can you hang on through the break for us?
Sure.
Great. Thank you. All right.
When time has come.
For 51.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Is that jolly old soul in the department store really Santa Claus? Let the magic of the season sweep over you as you find out with little Susan if Kris Kringle is who he claims to be or if he's just a lost soul caught up in the wonder of the holiday. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Miracle on 34th Street, written by Valentine Davies, directed by Jennifer Levins. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinee at 2, November 17th through December 15th.
All right, we're back.
Okay, I'm going to go down the second half of my list. I'm thanking the folks that put out their signs on their property for us, all the Jefferson signs that you see floating around our community here in Reading. Skunk Works Motorcycle out on North I-5, Design Time and Tile, South 273, Muse Trucking on Clear Creek Road, Don Jamian Construction, Twin View Road, and Leo Jones Propane. He has a sign in Bella Vista and one in Bernie. So thank you, folks, for putting up the signs and supporting Jefferson.
And we need a little help, as Marcus talked about, with the lawsuit that he's got going there. So if you feel inclined to donate, you want to give people the
information again?
Where it goes and how to make out their checks.
If you want to support Mark on this and, you know, get the money going, and it'll be paid directly to the attorney, like Mark said earlier. Mark is not collecting any money. He's not doing any of that on his own.
Spending money, he is.
Well, he is spending money, but he's not collecting money for the sake of collection.
You bet.
We're doing it. Pecan is doing it on his behalf, and then Pecan will cut the check directly to the attorney. So Mark never sees and or touches the check or any of the money. So the money can be paid to on a check or money order, however you want to do it, to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, P-E-C-A-N, in the pay to order of. And then on the memo portion of the check, down the bottom left-hand corner, you write Second Amendment. That way it gets earmarked and goes into the proper account, and it makes it easier for the bookkeeper to do their job, and then they can cut the check and send it off to the attorney. You can also mail it to P.O. Box 751 Palacedro, P-A-L-O-C-E-D-R-O 96073. And that's the SOJ P.O. Box, but we do all that and get it to them and make it all happen for them.
Yep. So, Mark, any other thoughts that you have on the case? And any other thoughts? Oh, well, it looks like we may have a caller here, but we'll go right ahead anyway.
No squirrels, Terry. No squirrels.
No squirrels.
Stay focused. Stay focused.
What? No, where? Where?
Stay focused.
When? When do I stay focused? What? Over the hedge.
Up.
We have Lori on the phone. Lori, how you doing?
Lori?
I did. We were just talking about being focused.
Lori the squirrel?
Lori the squirrel, yeah. Lori the squirrel.
We were talking about over the hedge and staying focused.
I was just going to have Ashley call in on this, but if I could share very quickly 2 points. When there's elections and we put out, like, the State of Jefferson signs and anything remotely like that, oftentimes, amazingly, people pull them down, take them down, and so forth. Second point is there's a lot of businesses that have suffered and are bankrupt, gone, moved, and struggled, especially now after the car fire. So there's a very interesting population of us wanting the Second Amendment and everything Mark has been talking about today. Thank you, Mark, for sharing all these great details. And, I remember Chief Pauletti mentioning that they don't have to serve and protect. They can't. Mathematically impossible.
Correct.
So anyway, I just want to share that. I'm going to write a check today to Pecan, and I'm glad it's going straight away to the attorney, but there are other forces that just make it like we're still being censored and silenced and just put down. So that's all I wanted to share.
Sounds good. And remember, folks, when you write out this check to Pecan, you want to put in the memo portion, Second Amendment. Second Amendment.
Right. Thank you, Lori.
Thanks, Lori, as usual. Good call. And Mark, so what say you, my friend?
Well, we're having a dinner in Wairika at the Miners Inn on January the 12th.
Nice.
For Second Amendment to support this lawsuit. There's going to be a dinner in Shasta County at the Wind River Casino on January the, I think it's 18th, it's the 19th, the Saturday.
Saturday,
following,
right.
Ours, yeah. And please come to those, learn something. Rekindle your love for liberty and your love for Constitution, and rekindle your knowledge that God gave you certain rights that government has no ability to alter. And we have to force this government to honor those rights, because they will not honor them on their own. They are going to take what remains of your God-given rights away from you if you allow it. You don't get the government you deserve. You get the government you allow. So let's do something about this. Let's restore liberty in California. And if we can do this, we can do much, much more with your help. And we can't do any of it without your help.
And this all starts and kicks off on December the 1st
And that will be at the Veterans, the VFW Hall on 3210 West Center Street. And Mark Baird will be the keynote speaker. Patrick Jones will be speaking.
And that's in Anderson?
That's in Anderson, California.
Jefferson.
And it starts at 3 o'clock. The doors will open at 3. We'll start about 4 o'clock, and we'll probably go till about 6:30, 4 to 6:30, something like that. Mark will be speaking, and Patrick. And having Patrick Jones is going to be good because he can not only give us a perspective as someone who knows the laws, has to know the laws as a gun store owner, but also can give us a perspective because he has been in public service as a mayor, as a matter of fact. So,
So
you know, when we look at this issue. This December 1st really kicks everything off. It kicks, and then from there, I guess Yreka is the next one, then the next one will be back in Shasta County. Hit Wind River on the 19th. I know that that I talked to the counties down in the southern area of Jefferson, Stonewall, Tishnell, those folks down there in those counties are going to be setting up Second Amendment rallies or / Second Amendment fundraisers, but Mark's right. We really have to get this going and do it right. And when you have bureaucrats that are talking about, like the bureaucrat yesterday, I'm not sure whether he was a senator or a part of the House of Representatives when he said, well, you guys better be careful what you do because we in the government here have the nukes. I mean, to make a statement like that.
Who was that?
Sally has the name of it, but it was on Fox News, and maybe she'll go ahead and
It was Solwell, Congressman Solwell.
There you go.
The one from Southern California. He's such a dork.
And he's from Southern California, and he said, if you won't give up your guns, we'll take them from you. And if you resist, we have nuclear weapons.
That's what
the government said to the people who formed that government to secure liberty.
He is a piece of work.
Look, he's not alone. He is not alone in there. He's just one. He's just one in California of the majority.
Yeah, and that's sickening, and it's sad that we've come this far, and we've allowed it.
And his name again, Mark?
Solwell.
Solwell.
And make no mistake, that is the fight we're in.
Yeah. Wow. So
unbelievable. You know, I mean, that's. See, folks, you know, I mean, I know the Pokemon movie's out, but, you know, come on. Seriously. I mean, well, you know, I have kids, I have a family. Well, hey, everybody has a family. Everybody has kids. I mean,
we have kids, and we have a family, too.
Yeah. Well, it's time to adult up. You know, we all have to adult up. We have to grow up and take action and be adult about it and do what we have to do as adults. For our kids, our grandkids, our parents, our grandparents, whatever.
Well, look, you can fight for the liberty that God gave you, or you can be a dog chained to your master's table and crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you.
Yep. Unfortunately, right now, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
We got to get out of that.
It really is, you know, and there's so many people that are apathetic. You know, a lot of times people go, well, gosh, thank you for what you do. Well, how about helping us?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're welcome, but, I mean, are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, well, I haven't got time. You know, I've got a family. Well, we don't have families? Okay, I mean, here's the deal, folks. What's liberty worth to you? What's it worth to you? Or is it worth anything to you?
Right.
And I think that, you know, as we look and we go on here and I know that counties up here have had issues with being represented. That is the issue. That is the silver bullet.
Mm-hmm.
But the Second Amendment protects that.
If
we don't keep the Second Amendment, and again, there's 8 million guns registered in the state of California. That means that there's some folks out there that care about this issue.
Yeah.
And that's just the ones that are registered.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mark, we've got about 1 minute. What you got, buddy?
I don't have anything, but Samuel Adams said something. If you love wealth greater than liberty, if you love the tranquility of servitude greater than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We seek neither your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you, and may your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were ever once called our countrymen.
Amen.
Amen. And, Mark, I want to personally thank you, as I know Wynn does and Ashley does, for all you do, buddy. I know how hard you work at this. And Cindy, your awesome wife,
yeah,
she makes all this possible.
Yeah.
And you can't have a more stellar couple than what we've got with Mark and Cindy Baird. And
that's
I just thank you for your friendship, brother, and thank you for your leadership.
Amen.
And time has come.
For 51.
What you face.